Let's get in the Word tonight. If you have your Bible, I hope you do. There's two places I want to visit tonight, over in Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll go to Romans, and we'll spend our time in those two. I want to talk to you about something that I've never preached on specifically. I want to talk about the chosen. I know that there's a thing going around in the movie world that everyone that I've watched is wonderful, called The Chosen. But I'm not trying to follow that. I just, when I look in the scriptures, and I just looked right before I came tonight, in the New King James, 22 times in the New Testament, the word chosen is talked about. So that must mean something is important that God wants to get into our hearts. So let's talk about tonight for a little bit what that word chosen means. All right, so let's go to Ephesians and kind of introduce this, and then we'll go to Romans, spend the rest of our time there. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, excuse me, look at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as, now note the wording, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Just as, notice who did the choosing, he chose us. I remember very distinctly, I grew up in a little town called Crossville, and then grew up around it, but 1,500, that's about the population, had a high school in it. And I remember back in the days when we didn't call it physical education, we called it recess. That tells you how old I am. So in grammar school, back, you know, we had recess. And so our class, like the third grade, would go out on the playground, and we had recess. We did things, played ball. And so one of the big things that I remember so distinctly is going outside, and the teacher would so often go, she would pick two leaders, and one over here and one over there, and we would, you know, you choose, okay? We would choose and then choose. And I still remember, as a little boy, I still remember the joy I could see on a face when that leader said, I want you, John. And he felt that chosen feeling. I tell you, the sad thing was the last one that was chosen. But aren't you glad? Now listen carefully. Aren't you glad that God, through Christ, looked at you and said, I choose you before you ever chose him? Hallelujah. You didn't stumble into the kingdom. You were chosen. And we'll talk about that and what it means. What I love about this text right here is the wording of it. And I want to kind of break it down, and then we'll get to Romans. But look at what Paul said. For the Lord, look at the next word, has. How many of you know that if he has, he won't do what he already has? So we're always looking for God to do something, and the Lord's trying to say, I've already done it. You're already chosen. Remember, I chose you in him. So it says, he has, and look at the word blessed. This fires me up. And if you look at that word, it comes out of the Greek word eulegio, from which we get our word eulogy. And you've been to a funeral when the preacher gets up and does a eulogy. He describes the person whose funeral you're celebrating. It's a eulogy. God's got a eulogy for you. You won't tell what it is? He has blessed you. That's God's view. That's God's idea. He has blessed you. And I know what's... sorry. Look what he said. He has blessed us. Nobody got left out. Nobody got left out, okay? He has blessed us. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. I hate these tickles. He has blessed us. Aren't you glad your name is us? Now listen to me. How many of you know it has nothing to do with how educated you are or how good looking you are or how much money you have or what status you have? We have been blessed already. Now, I know we are being blessed, but Paul said he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing. He has. That is available already. Have you know breakfast has been cooked? You don't have to cook it. Calvary provided all of this, and the empty tomb gave it to us. Hallelujah. So that means all of us that have been said yes to Jesus, which makes you the chosen, because when he chose you before the foundation of the world, and then the day that you said, me? You want me? And it's an amazing thing. You if you go in this direction, you don't know who's pointing at you back there. But repentance is like this. Repentance is this. You turn around and he's pointing, I chose you. And I agree with him. I said, Lord Jesus, I need you. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Make me a child of God. He said, welcome home. I've been waiting on you. That's how the chosen are not an elite bunch. The chosen is everybody that said yes. That makes you the chosen. So you are the chosen. Now listen to me. There's no one on earth better than you. Now, they may have more money. They may have more fill in the blank. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But aren't you glad that the color of your skin, your status, don't have a thing in the world to do with how much God loves you? He loves you. And, you know, at the cross, we're on level ground. How many of you know the upcoming president here, Trump? How many know he don't have any clout with God? I got as much as he's got. Come on now. How many know the Queen of England don't have any clout with God? Jesus gave you clout. Come on now. So that means at the cross we're all the same. We're all the chosen. I love that. And he has, now listen, blessed us, past tense. He has eulogized us with all spiritual blessings. That's now on your bank account, spiritually. You know, bless June's heart, she takes care of our finances, which is not a big deal at home. We're not running in the top 2%. So, but anyway, bless her heart, she does a wonderful job doing our finances. Okay. And once in a while, I love it. The other day she said, honey, look, I made a mistake. We got more than I thought we had. Well, I didn't bow my head and say, Lord Jesus, forgive us for having more than we ought to have. How many of you know, one day you agree that I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. My God, I didn't know that. And then all of a sudden your life begins to change because you are drawing off the account that was already there, but you didn't know you had it. No wonder we perish from the lack of knowledge. No wonder we perished because we didn't know what was in the bank. So the chosen in Christ has been blessed already, past tense, with every spiritual blessing. Now, I want you to go to the book of Romans, and we're going to get into some things that's not easy traveling, but it's profitable. I want to do three verses in the 8th chapter of Romans. Three verses that are powerful, power-packed, but needs to be talked about in view of our position in Christ. Aren't you glad you've been chosen? I mean, I'm honest with you. When I lie down tonight, I'm glad I can put my head on a pillow and go, thank you by your grace, your kindness, your salvation, I've been chosen. And, you know, I got a home beyond this one with him because that's where the chosen live. Now, in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read, we're going to read one verse, talk about it, and there's three of them, and then we'll be finished. I want you to look at verse 28. In the 28th verse, we quote that one quite often. I'm going to read it and then talk about it. And this is, as you well know, as we look at it, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, the Bible also says in Matthew 22, there are many called, few chosen. What does that mean? Many are called, but only a few have said yes. Now listen, folks, not everybody's going to heaven. Come on now. You'd be foolish to think, well, he was a good old boy. Good old boys don't go to heaven. Methodists and Baptists and Pentecostals and Catholics, and they don't go to heaven. Can you imagine walking up to the gate of heaven and go, I'm a Methodist. And Peter saying, we don't have any of them up here. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing all. I'm just telling you, none of that. That is a nickname. That's not who I am or who you are. I am by God's grace as you are, the chosen by the grace of God, a child of the Most High. That's who I am. Now, Paul said, and I title it, The Promise Given to the Chosen. Now look at it. And we know. Let's just stop there. And we know. Well, I got it digging around here. And we know. There's two words in the New Testament that we use for the word know. One is was the word gnosko, meaning we know by experience. In other words, I can say, well, I don't know about the podium, but I know it's hard now. Gnosko, okay? But then there's another word called eido, E-I-D-O, that is a much fuller understanding of knowing. It's like a fullness of knowing and understanding. Often Jesus, when he talked about his knowing, he used that word. And so Paul says, now we eido, we know. We have a fullness of knowing. What is it that we know? Well, we know that all things, here it is, I'm reading it to you, all things work together for good to those that love God. Now, that's a heavy duty. Well, you don't know, preacher, this morning I ran over my cat, and you gonna call that good? No, I wouldn't. I like kitties. But what did he say? For those chosen, all things, know this, work for good to those that love God. Now, I want to look at that. Because the word all things, I mean, I did a lot of work on that one. All things, it's not only the big part, but the particulars along the way. All of this works together for good for the chosen that love God. Now, let's look at it. First of all, works together for good. Is that a promise or not? How many times I've been going home after something's happened, I've said it, the Lord knows, I've said it, don't know how you're going to work this one out. But I don't have to know. It was a promise, not what I can do, what he promised he would do. Okay? And so it works together for good. And then he said to those who love God, that's us. Then he said to those who are the called, that's us. We are the chosen. And then those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I wrote in my notes, lest I forget it, there needs to be some clarity. Let me tell you what I didn't say. I didn't say everything that happens to you, God did it. I heard of the Calvinist walking down the steps one day and fell and tumbled down the steps. The bottom of the steps, he got up and said, "Thank God that's over." Not everything that happens to you is orchestrated by God. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. If it's good and perfect, he sent it. The devil is mean. He has one purpose, only one purpose: steal, kill, destroy. But the Bible says, he has a one-purpose agenda: to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not good. I didn't say that everything that happens to us as the chosen will work out for good just because God did it. No, that's not what I said. Here's what I did say. He's more powerful, he's bigger, he's wiser than anything that can ever happen to you. And I don't know, and I don't have, if you ask me, how's he going to do that? I don't know. You're talking to the wrong one. I didn't say I'd do it. He said he would. Some way, somehow. Remember a fellow say one time, and I remember his testimony. He's walking down the street, and he's working on the building. And he said, the brick guys lost a brick, hit him in the head, wound up in the hospital. Did God throw the brick at him? No. Don't believe God's in the brick throwing business. But while he was in the hospital, he wrote his best book that he'd ever written in his life. Did God do the brick? No. God said, I'm going to show you this. I'm bigger than that brick, and I'm going to do something good. Boy, if you can live as the chosen, knowing God didn't do this, but I'll tell you, God's bigger than this. Instead of trying to figure, you can't figure it out. Haven't we lived long enough to know that God's smarter than we are? I remember one time years ago when I first got to baptism, and out of Cloverdale, I was a Methodist. I got the baptism speaking in tongues. And, I mean, I didn't have much of a reference point or education about it, but I knew what had happened to me. And so I went through about a year of struggling about praying in tongues. This is, and I, that little voice in the back of my mind said, just you making all this up. One day I said, Lord, the devil, somebody's telling me I'm making this all up. And I heard another voice. I didn't have a thought. I heard a voice said this, you're not that smart. I can tell you, when he said that, it settled my doubt. I've never had a doubt about it since. Why don't we just settle it? Go look in the mirror and go, you're not that smart. But he who lives in me is bigger than he who lives in the world, because I am the chosen by the grace of God. So Paul said, what God is able to do is take what you wish had not happened and somehow, some way, turn it in to your good and his glory. I'm not glorifying bad. I'm telling you how big and good God is. Hallelujah. So it's the promise to the chosen. Let's look at another verse. Look at the next verse. Wow. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm going to tell you, that's a powerful scripture. So I simply call this the premier calling for the chosen. God has an ultimate calling on your life. Now, listen to me. And it's not doing something. It's being something. We've got this thing all turned around. I mean, I'm pointing at myself. We get it all turned around. We get so caught up in the doing, and we forget if we would pursue the being, then the doing just comes. Now, you know, it's about the Lord. Not just what he can do. Who is he? Who is he? Because if I might, Paul said, if I could just know him, because in knowing him, I will discover his doing. You know, I love what that scripture that Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I see him do. I don't say anything except what I hear him say. I often wondered when at the Pool of Bethesda, I mean, there's a bunch of sick folks. He healed one. I'm thinking, why didn't he heal all of them? I don't know. Maybe you do. I don't. All I know is this. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. Before we got there, the Father said, I'm going to heal this one. So why didn't he heal the rest of them? I don't have an idea. I'm not God. I'm just part of the flock. I'm not on his board. Aren't you glad he is smarter than we are? So I don't have to figure it all out. I can tell you this. When I first got saved and then went into ministry, I don't know. I guess it was some cocky, fleshly thing, you know, that you start learning something, you go, man, I got this. How stupid can you get? And let me tell you where I am. Here in a few weeks and months, I'll be 85. Let me tell you where I am now. The more I learn, the more I knew I didn't know. Isn't that amazing? The more you learn, the more you know you don't know. Because I think heaven, one of the things in heaven, we will perpetually, continually be learning about who he is. Hallelujah. So the premier, now watch this, the premier calling on your life is not doing, and God wants, you were created for good works. I know that. Those whom he foreknew. Aren't you glad? I love this. Aren't you glad? He knew you were going to sit where you're sitting before you sat down. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find myself informing God about a lot of things. I mean, in my prayer time, I'm conforming. I'm informing the Lord. I want you to know right now, I'm down here at the bank and I got a problem. And I can just hear God saying, I wondered where you went this morning when you left the house. You ever notice how we inform God? I'm at Grace House. Listen, don't forget he foreknew. That means he's omniscient. He's not learning anything. Can you imagine that? I can't. Can you imagine our God can't learn anything? He goes, is he dumb? Oh, no, he knows everything. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he knows your thoughts before you think them? He knows he knows your next step before you take it. I mean, and I get to call him Father. And you do, and we get to call Jesus our Lord. I mean, we are the children. Glory to God. Those whom he foreknew, let me look at it with you. Those whom he foreknew, let me tell you what he did. First of all, he predestined them. Had a plan. Aren't you glad that we're not like a clock? God just wound us up. God is tied to good, now do the best you can. When it runs down, I'll take you to heaven. Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad he's involved in every little thing about your life? I think I've told you this, but I think of it often coming through North Florence. We were living in Cloverdale. I don't know why I was coming into town. It was at night, and I had our car, the sun visor on the passenger side that broke. It wouldn't stay up. It'd fall down. So I figured out I'd get me a can opener, you know, one of them kind of, that kind, and stick it up here, and it'd keep it up. That worked for me. It was on June side anyway, but anyway. So it was in the summertime. I had the windows down. I'm coming through North Florence, and all of a sudden I heard something go, ping! I look at it, boom! The thing popped out at night. And I just stopped the car. It was no traffic coming. I stopped the car. I said, Lord, I need that can over to keep this up. I don't have any idea where it is, but you know where it is. I don't have a flashlight. I can't find it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm walking down the side of the pavement like this. I go, well, you just tell me where it is, and I'll stop and get it. And when I said that, I reached down, got it, and took it back to the car. Now, the reason I think God did that is to let me know he's not just engaged in the biggies. He's engaged in the all of our lives because you're the chosen. Now, aren't you glad? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Everybody else may run, but I won't. Those whom I foreknew, I predestined. I have a plan for your life. And then he said, and right here it is in the text, and then he said that you be conformed to the image of his son. I'm not going to call his name. It was a prophet, apostle, more of a prophetic ministry, a lot of supernatural stuff. Had this vision. He said God took him to the throne of heaven, and when he got to the throne of heaven, he said as he walked up to the throne, he said, God said, come close. I want to see how much like my son you look. That's the ultimate calling on your life, is to be predestined to his plan and conformed to his image. I mean, you know, I think I've told you this one, but it's hilarious. Gina and I are not moviegoers, okay? Occasionally we'll go, but we're not moviegoers. But our kids came home when the drive-in was where Christ Chapel sits now, and said, Dad, y'all got to go see this movie, Black Stallion or something. I don't know what it was. Well, okay. So I still remember it so vividly. So I think I had a little Toyota Corolla, so we get up, how much? And they told us, and I said, good gracious, that's cheap. Methodist preachers like cheap stuff like that. So we parked. It's the crazy thing. We parked on that little terrace road. You know how and they had a stob sticking up right here, and they had a speaker hanging on each side. Well, this one didn't have a speaker on either side. I said, honey, we need to move. We moved down to another terrace road. I said, somebody stole these too. We moved three times. The third time, it's down near the concession stand, and here comes the guy that has been in the concession. I said, hey, sir, let me ask you, how do you hear this thing? He said, on the radio. Well, I didn't know that. So he got it on the radio, and this went on his merry way. And by the time he left, what we were hearing was not what we wanted to hear, because the movie that we thought was not on. And I had on the back of our car, Welcome to Christ Chapel or something like that. So we're sitting right here in this Toyota with a lane. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It was awful. We got to get out of here. How are you going to get out of here? You ease down between the rows right there, but you got that glaring sign on the back. Welcome to Christ Chapel. How many of you know the reason I felt bad about it is because Jesus wouldn't have gone there either. Let me tell you a simple way when you get to doing whatever you're doing. Can you do it with him? If you can't, don't do it. That's simple enough. I mean, all you got to do is, would Jesus do this? I heard Billy Graham said he was on an airplane, and this guy, probably intoxicated, got up and just started ranting, raving, and cussing, and carrying on. I mean, up before the people in the plane. Billy Graham said, boy, I couldn't wait for him to sit down. I was going to share the gospel with him. He said, he sat down in his seat, and I wondered where it was. And sir, let me tell you something. He started sharing the gospel. He said, stop it. You don't need to share the gospel to me. I teach Sunday school. The simple way of being simple as the redeemed, as the chosen, just ask Jesus if he'd do that. I asked a fellow one time, and don't feel bad about it, this. I mean, don't throw rocks at me or nothing. He said, you think it's all right? Can you smoke and go to heaven? I've been asked crazy, can you smoke and go to heaven? I usually say, probably be the first one there. But this guy was asking me. Do you think, I said, let me ask you this. I'll just ask you this and you answer me. Can you see Jesus walking down a road with Winston? Well, no. I go, maybe that's your answer. You see, here we are, the chosen of God, walking in the earth. We don't have a problem. All we need to do, Jesus, what does your word say? What would you do? And do it. It simplifies everything. So he called us to be conformed to his image. I love that. Now notice what he said in the text. I have to hurry. Ugh. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That, now listen to me carefully, please. As we walk as the chosen, predestined with his plan, conformed to his image, we begin to reflect on planet Earth the fact that he, Paul said, is the firstborn of all creation. Colossians 1:15. The firstborn of all creation. I love, we don't have a cultural mindset of what it means to be firstborn. The Bible does. To be the firstborn, you became the leader of the family as the firstborn. As the firstborn, you had an inheritance. Matter of fact, you had a double inheritance as the firstborn. And so here is Jesus saying, I am the firstborn in all of creation. You know why? Who's ever been born by the Holy Spirit like Jesus? Nobody. First one. What about the resurrection? Well, we had folks raised from the dead. They were not resurrected. They died again. Only one ever been resurrected. His name is Jesus. So he's the firstborn in all of creation with a double inheritance. Are you ready for this? And he, as our Savior and Lord, and as us, by his grace, the chosen, has shared that inheritance with us. He has shared his firstborn blessing with his wife. You are his wife. For the Lamb's wife has made herself ready, Revelation said. So let me share that with you real quick. Listen to it. This is in Acts 2:36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. God set him up as the firstborn. Listen to this one. You know this one. Philippians 2, 9, 10, 11. For God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name. That at that name every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Father exalted his son. And then the son in that position with the chosen has shared his birthright with his bride. Revelation 19:16. I love this one. In 19 of Revelation it says this. It says, look, we are looking in the realm of eternity, and on his robe and on his thigh was a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How many of you know every knee will bow? Every tongue will confess. Somebody said, go ahead and bow now and avoid the rush. Everybody's coming. So how did he share his inheritance with us? And let me give you two or three things real quick. He gave us his name. He gave us his name. At my name, when you pray, at my name, I will answer your request in my name. What did Peter and John say on the road to the prayer meeting? In his name. Get up. He got up. He gave us his name. I can tell you this. When you say in faith, in the name of Jesus, heaven takes notice. The angels take notice. They're on standby. Someone is operating in faith in the power and authority of a name. They've got a birthright and they're working in it and operating it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, just saying that. In his name. How many times have I said to a demon, in the name of Jesus? You go, what if they don't obey? They don't have a choice. When we speak in faith to a demon spirit in the name of Jesus, it has to obey. It don't have a choice. It's overcome with the power and authority of that name. So he gave us his name. Come on now. And then he declared us sons and daughters, Galatians 4. You're not just, I remembered years ago Dudley Hall. I'll never forget. How many of you know Dudley Hall? And you guys, oh, a bunch of you. Dudley, great, great big guy and a wonderful brother in the Lord. Said one of his boys, one of his jobs around the house was to take out the garbage. That was all. So Dudley said, one day he's getting the garbage ready to take out. And he said, he just stopped and starts talking to Dudley and his Betsy, his wife. And said, the only reason you had me so I'd serve you. Dudley said, I just started laughing. I thought, my goodness. Boy, you don't know what it cost us to get you here. And it went through how much it cost the hospital. And you know, and I thought about this. Jesus didn't save you just to serve him. He saved you to relate to him and be a son and be a daughter. And you know, if you love your wife, you don't have to serve, you get to. If you love your husband, you don't have to. I mean, love is an opportunity, not an obligation. So he gave us a name, sons, daughters, not just servants. Servants, the master doesn't tell the servants what he's going to do. He tells the sons. Aren't you glad every once in a while the Lord goes, let me tell you what I'm up to. Glory to God, is that true? Can I tell it? No, can't tell a soul. Don't ever tell a preacher nothing. Tell him not to tell it. He'll tell everybody he can find. He gave us his name, and he gave us sons and daughters as relationship. Let me. He gave us an inheritance. Ephesians 1, you can study Ephesians 1, but we have an inheritance. Listen to me, please. You're not getting your inheritance. You have an inheritance. The firstborn has shared his inheritance with us. And you draw on that inheritance. That's the premier, to form us into the image of the Son. Let me in here. All of this is he that we're reading here is present tense. It's not going to happen. It's now here. you know, when I look at the next verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, he justified, and to them he justified, he also glorified. Now listen to me carefully. I don't know. I'm not into the language, and I wish I could do what Pastor does with the Greek language. But I found out this. Predestination or predestined, call, justified, and glorified is an aorist tense past action. Meaning this, already happened. Excuse me for getting happy. Already happened. It's like, bless God, I'm rich and I just found out. Come on now. I mean, if you go to the bank in the morning and you got a phone call on the way to the bank and the bank said, I don't know, sir, if you know this, but somebody just put $5 million in our bank to your account. How would you go in there? Can you cash this $5 check? I just found out I'm rich. as the chosen. You can't get any richer than what you are. You can just learn how to spend what's already yours. It's already done. I love it. It's already done. He predestined, he justified, he glorified. I found this scripture, and I'll let these theologians describe this one to you. John 17:22, the great prayer chapter. This is what Jesus said: "The glory which you have given me, I have given it to them." See, we have reduced this thing to a denominational structure, not against that, or just a position. But Jesus said, "The glory you gave me, I've given to them." A couple of things I want to say, and I'll be finished. I remember years ago a lady had a great desire to go to England and see the Queen. And she and her husband, finally there came a day when they did. They went to England, and the arrangement of it all, she was at the palace with her aunt and saw the Queen walk by. She said, "I'm standing here like this, and the Queen goes by." And I said, she was a Christian. She said, "Lord, I've seen the Queen." He said, "I heard a whisper in my heart, said, wait till you see the King." If you think it's good now, you just wait till we see the King. Because the chosen, those that heard the call that said yes, the chosen, is yet to behold the fullness of your inheritance. You now have a legal right to call on the name of Jesus. It's a legal right. The authority of the word. I was sitting in my seat next to June a couple of Sundays ago. I don't know how to describe it. If it was an open vision, or I don't know. But it was at an altar call, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I realized that I had my arms full of stuff. And then I was going to turn to Wayne, who was sitting kind of behind us there, son-in-law Wayne. And I was to ask him, I said, "Wayne, can I have your billfold?" Now, I know Wayne. He would have given it to me. I know Wayne. That would have had some money in it. And if that had some money in it, I could use it. So I could say, "I need that billfold." So I'm standing right here, and I said, "Wayne, can I have your billfold?" And I could see him reaching to get it and to hand it to me. But I couldn't take it because my hands were already full. And it's like the Lord said, if you're going to get what you want, you've got to lay down what you're carrying. And I could just lay it down. And then I could reach forward to receive what I needed and wanted. And I think that's a word for us, at least for me. I am, and you are, thank God, a child of God, the chosen one, and we can get loaded down. Well, what on this Wednesday night? What on this disco? Okay. Cast all your care on the Lord, for He cares for you. You weren't built to carry it. We were built to turn it loose. And so my encouragement is you celebrate. Begin celebrating, finding out who He says you already are and what you already have. This is a very mature church. We know that. But that you have been chosen by him. It was his choice. When he one day, and these are my words, when he one day looked at June and said, June, I want you. I want you to be my child. And June said, okay. And her life was changed forever. How about you? Would you be willing tonight to go, why don't we get into 25 this way? Just lay it down. My goodness. Because you are chosen. He can love you no more than what he loves you now. Lord, thank you. Maybe Andrew and the team would come on up or whomever. So, Lord, right now I feel like I'm at a place where you want me to decide some things. You want me to choose some things. Because we found out, Lord, that you chose us before we chose you. But we're so glad we got to hear you call so we could say yes. And we want to find out who we are as we find out who you are. Maybe, Lord, tonight in this precious gathering that I need to lay some things down so I can take what you're offering me. So thank you. I don't know, every head's bowed for a moment. I don't know if there's anyone here that feels a tug of the Lord. Yes, I need to, you know. I can promise you won't ever regret it. Would you put your hand up to God? I'm not coming to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. Would you put your hand up to God and go, there's some things I need to lay down tonight. Anybody in the building? God bless, God bless. Anybody else? God bless. It's okay. It's not a question of our love for the Lord. It's a question of, are we carrying what we don't need to carry because of that we can't receive what we need to receive? Because you are the chosen. Maybe we get some of the prayer team to come on up if you need prayer for anything. Love for you to come. I'm going to say the benediction and just come on up. And even after the benediction, the altar will be open. Would love to pray with you, for you. It's like one chosen praying for another chosen. If two shall agree. So, Father, thank you. For the wonder of your grace. Thank you, Lord, that none of us can brag or boast. We just glory in the cross. And thank you that you chose us. We know that you've chosen every whosoever will. But you've invited them. And we pray, Lord, those that have not said yes will. May you bless this precious group. If there's any need for healing or just a confirmation, why don't you just slip out in a moment and this prayer team will be glad to just pray for you and bless you. And so, Lord, thank you. We just say to all of you, may the Lord Jesus bless you and keep you, and make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, that he will lift up his countenance upon each one of you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to do something before you leave, all right? I want you to say it with me, I am chosen. Are you ready? I am chosen. Say it one more time. I am chosen. Let me know that's the truth. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And the altar's open. If we could pray with you and for you in any way, we'd be glad to. God bless you. Don't forget, if it snows, keep your ears open. God bless.